Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? You want to be a part of the program? You can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More product, more room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. 650-650 if you're listening live. Always get your comments in, as we do appreciate them.
Just got to let this go. Let this go, man. One of these days, just got to let it go.
The people love it.
No, they don't.
As much as they love Penultimate. And, you know, you all the range of other things that I do.
You love catering to, like, the nichest part of our audience. It's like four people.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Well, they love it.
Yes. The dozens of us.
I think dozens might be overstating it.
The same people who love comments are also like, Leckermackie for Calder.
Yeah. Can we talk about Josh's sweater today?
I've seen the sweater before. Haven't we?
It's very
festive.
This
is the first time I've worn it.
Is it the first time you've
worn it? It's got like snowflakes and reindeer on it.
It's like a Christmas cardigan. Not obnoxiously Christmas.
It's pretty holiday.
Yeah, actually,
it's pretty holiday.
I was trying to get myself into the spirit.
Do you have something that's similar?
I don't think so.
No? Mm. Huh, for some reason, it didn't like stand out to me as something different that you would wear.
All right.
I don't know if that's a good thing or
bad
thing about your
thing.
Style, but...
It goes with my wardrobe.
But Josh has stepped up his style the last past couple of years. As he's maturing into a young adult,
he's finding fabulous for less, and it is really working out for him.
I put in a solid effort to diversify my wardrobe.
Yeah, you have.
And this was a fabulous find, by the way.
Dan, why are you anti-Christmas?
I'm not anti-Christmas. I just, I'm wondering why we're wearing ugly Christmas sweaters on November 13th.
Whoa, hold on.
Ugly.
Hold on. We're going too far.
You're such a Grinch.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up my Christmas stuff this weekend, but the Canucks have back-to-back games. Might be tough. Might have to wait until the following week.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Reach is like, I'm just not putting it up. I hate Christmas.
I'm going somewhere else for the holidays, so why even bother putting up a tree in my place? That's how I feel about it.
Why be pesky?
You know, the building manager put up the tree in the lobby already, so that'll be my tree for this year. All right, let's get to the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Last night, the Canucks beating up on the Calgary Flames in what was a pretty comfortable victory, even though the scoreboard wasn't the most comfortable, and Calgary did take the lead in the first period, but I felt after that first, the Canucks were pretty comfortable taking the lead in the second. And one of the things that was extremely apparent is Quinn Hughes has been first star many times this season. Kevin Lankinen's been first star many times this season. For the Canucks last night, Elias Pettersson ends up being the first star, talking to the crowd after the game, smile from ear to ear. And JT Miller had a huge bounce back performance after the tough night we talked about against the Edmonton Oilers. It's the first time this season we've seen the Canucks' top two centers that rank like among the best center duos in the league, actually play like it's at.
We've been waiting to see.
Yeah.
And it's the Calgary Flames, right? And not only are they not a team people expect to make the playoffs, they've gotten off to a good start, but they were playing their third game in four nights. So nobody's
saying, fifth city in eight nights.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? No, so it's been a tough, you know, road trip, but they had won the previous game. They've been playing well as a team, so it's not a slouch of an opponent. But nonetheless, we're not sitting here and saying, oh, the Canucks are going to be dominant with these two players. But it shows you how much it tilts the ice in their favor when their two best centers are playing well. I'm not even saying they're back. I'm not even saying that we're seeing the best of Pettersson, or that Pettersson has regained his form, or that we're seeing the best version of JT. It was just overall good performances by both guys. And when both guys win their matchups and play well, this team is going to be very difficult to beat.
Yeah, and on Pettersson, it's remarkable. Like, I know there are and is another level, maybe multiple levels that Pettersson can still get to, because when he's at his best, he's among the very best players in the National Hockey League. And two games playing really well does not make a superstar player. It takes, you know, consistent level at that level in order to be that. And we haven't seen Pettersson get there for a while, but these last two really start to give you confidence. First multi-point game on Saturday of the season, has another one last night. And as I've said yesterday, there's an urgency to his game. There's a confidence to his game in the third period, the way he takes that puck on his backhand and is able to fight through the contact from Pospisil to still get a shot away and force Vladar into a tough save. Like, just those are the kinds of things that we hadn't seen Pettersson do for a while. And it just feels like now it's happening, not every shift, but he's feeling like more of a threat almost every time he's on the ice.
Yeah, and we were talking about how that spark, quote unquote, had kind of been missing, and not to narrow it down to something that you can quantify and easy to say, but that urgency and the pop in his game wasn't there. That has returned, right? And again, I don't think it's at the levels we've seen when he's at his peak, but he looks like a different player. The defensive side has always been strong. He had another excellent defensive game last night, but the offense is coming along. He's really attacking space really well, which is something I'd like to see. What we're not seeing yet, and this is the encouraging part. He has 4 points in two games, but he's not quote-unquote back, but he's making an impact. He's looking like a good player and a hard player to beat night to night, but we haven't seen him beat guys one-on-one as much as he's done in the past, which I think will come as his confidence keeps growing and he becomes stronger heading through the season. And we're not seeing him wire the shot yet.
Yeah.
He's gotten a couple shots off. We're seeing the velocity tick back up. He had one shot the other night that reached 93 miles an hour just above, which is solid, strong, right? He's starting to show that he can shoot the puck a lot harder, but we're not seeing the wrist shot come up as much. We're not seeing him find ways to get his shot off the way you want in dangerous ways yet. That's the other side I want to see. If he starts doing those things, then he's going to be back, because now you're impacting the game at every level.
Well, in the defensive game, as we've outlined for much of the last week, has really come around for Elias Pettersson, and I think that's fueled his offense to a certain level in these last couple of games. The goal he scores, you know, helps on the forecheck, goes straight to the net afterwards, ready for Miller to make that backdoor pass. You know, those are the kinds of plays with conviction that we haven't seen Pettersson make often enough. And, you know, back-to-back games, how is he scoring goals? It's not yet with the great shot, but it's getting to those areas of the ice, getting a tip while streaking towards the net, getting to the back door. That's ultimately going to help fuel the rest of your game if you are Elias Pettersson. And so steps in the right direction is the best way to put it. As for Miller, Miller's game, I even watching back the Edmonton game, I felt like his first few shifts were strong and you started to feel and see some of the power in Miller's game. Obviously, that didn't continue through the entirety of the Edmonton game. But last night, like, again, similar to with Elias Pettersson, it felt like JT Miller. You felt the power in his game. You saw the vision in his game and fueling the Canucks offense, helping Jonathan Lekkerimäki through his NHL debut, just felt like a level we hadn't yet seen Miller at, even though the points have been there for most of the year.
Yeah, he was skating much better. You saw the burst back in his game, too. And he's had that. We talked about throughout the year that it hasn't gone away completely. He's not as quick as he was last year, but he's still, you know, above average in that regard. He was really skating well last night. And to me, without a doubt, the two best players last night were Pettersson and Miller. And again, what's exciting is I think both guys can still be better than what they were, right? And I think that goes the same thing for the team. And this is why, as much as there has been a lot of criticism and a lot of angst over Pettersson, yet we've always kind of maintained that he's going to find his game. Just it's going to take time. And I know people talk about trades. Just slow your roll. You're not going to find a better player. You just have to kind of ride this out. But as they're riding this out, they're on pace for 111 points.
Yeah.
It's not a great start to the season, but they're on pace for 111 points.
Yeah.
They haven't had the toughest opponents yet. They're going to have to play better opponents as the season goes on.
They've had a light schedule.
Right. But they haven't seen the best out of their best players outside of Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys down the lineup that we can talk about that have been really good, right? And that's one of the reasons why the team is having success, because Lankinen's been great, Hughes has been fantastic, and a bunch of other guys have contributed. Their team game still needs work. Last night, I love the first period, but after that, I didn't give anything up. But JT was making the type of impact we know he can make that had waned the past few games. And that's why, as the season goes on here, we haven't seen this team flash its contender form yet, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
We have questions about defense and what they have to add, of course, big picture. But show me a team that doesn't have a big question right now in the National Hockey League. Every team has a big question right now to some degree, whether it's injury or something else looming over.
I don't know. Have you watched Winnipeg?
Yeah, but they're... Listen, Winnipeg... I
like the Harlem Globetrotters right now, man. I don't know what's going on with these guys.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a good team.
Yeah.
They have flaws, though.
Yes.
We haven't seen any of them yet. No. We'll see them as the season goes on. But they're still, like, fantastic. They might win the West. I don't disagree, right? Might win the President's Trophy.
15-1, man. That's just like...
They can go 500 the rest of the way and, like, you know, almost get 100 points. Like, that's how good a start they have, right? But I think we'll see some flaws as the season goes on. We haven't seen the Canucks get hot and play their best yet.
No.
And a lot of it is tied to Pettersson and Hughes.
Yeah.
I mean, Pettersson and JT. And last night, it was encouraging to see both guys play that way. And especially on JT, because he really is the heartbeat of the team when he's playing as direct as he was and as aggressive as he was last night.
Well, and what makes the Canucks a contender in a lot of people's eyes, it's the spine of the team, right? You've got Pettersson, you've got Miller, you've got Hughes and Hronek on D, and then you've got the stud goaltender in net as well. Now, that doesn't account for everything, but when you have star level players at the spine of your team through the middle of the ice, you're going to have a lot of success. And that's what's been missing from this team. Yes, we can see Quinn Hughes reach a level and play and get into this supernova mode that is almost basically is unplayable. There's no answer for opposing teams for Quinn Hughes when he puts on that Super Saiyan Goku costume that he does through a lot of these games. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, there's just only so much we can do to contain this guy when he's playing like this. But to ask and need Quinn Hughes to do that so often during the course of the season is going to be incredibly taxing on him. And it limits what you are as a team, because once you go into the playoffs and you face other teams that have a lot of talent, that's not going to win you 4 out of 7 games. You're going to need more than just Quinn Hughes. And that's where JT Miller and Elias Pettersson come in. So seeing them do that last night really helps the confidence level of this squad.
Yeah, and I know people say how they looked against playoff teams. They haven't been great against a lot of playoff teams.
They haven't had Pettersson and Miller going during some of these
games. Let's see how they play
playoff teams.
That's what they're going to need against those teams. They need both these guys going, and it looks like they're getting going at least.
Yeah, and even Edmonton on Saturday, they had Pettersson going, but not Miller. So can they get both of them? Now, even going back to the playoffs last year, I mean, I know it's like one of the big what ifs, but if Pettersson was playing like we expect Pettersson to play, how different is that playoff series with the Edmonton Oilers? It's Stan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Okay, there is one other thing I want to get to, and it is one of the Canucks, I guess, so far star acquisitions of the offseason, late offseason, even if it were. But Eric Branstrom has another big night, scores his first goal as a Canuck, and it really put the cherry on top of what was a really strong performance from him and Vincent Desharnais as a pair last night against the Calgary Flames. I'm to the point where, you know, beyond the fact that this guy is, you know, he would have to pass through waivers again to go back to Abbotsford. To me, that's not even it hasn't really entered my mindset, because as it sits right now, like, there's no question in my mind that he is one of the 6 best defensemen on this roster that is available to play right now. And even if Forbert were to come back, I'd still probably, Yeah, I'd still be on the train of like, yeah, Eric Brandstrom should be in this lineup.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think even with Forsberg in, he's at least the sixth best defenseman on this team.
And then it's a question of how much do you want to play him on the right side or what?
Yeah, as far as, but yeah, you're right. That's going to be the question. How do they deploy him? And does he end up being the odd man out, whether we like it or not?
Yeah.
But that's based on talent and how he's played. No question. He's been one of their six. Like right now, he's their fifth best defenseman.
Yeah, and to a certain, like, Eric Brandstrom is an essential part of a playoff team in that he's going to help you through the 82 games. He's going to help you win some games. He's got offensive talent that, especially when you go up against some, you know, lesser talented teams or teams that aren't as talented as you are, he's going to help a lot in those nights because if he's playing well and if he can win his minutes, maybe it takes a little bit of the load off of a Quinn Hughes and you don't have to run him hot. You can really exploit teams' lack of depth because Eric Brandstrom can have success in those minutes. But until I see him have success in a less sheltered role, if the Canucks were to at any point increase his minutes, put him into tougher spots, not give him as many offensive zone starts and those kinds of things, and he still has success in those minutes, like I'm going to always have a level of hesitation before fully buying into what this player is and how he's going to help the Canucks, because I kind of see him in a similar way to what Nils Höglander ended up being last year for the Canucks. 24 goals in the regular season, played an essential part to helping the Canucks winning the Pacific Division, but how short was the leash in the playoffs to the point where he got healthy scratched, right? To me, Eric Brandstrom is a piece that helps you get there, but I'm not sure he's a help that a piece that really helps you once it comes to the postseason.
Yeah, well, if he's not being trusted in certain situations, it's going to be hard to have him, to see him play in the playoffs. But I do think there could be enough growth in his game over the course of the season that he becomes at least a viable option for them, right? And I see people texting in too saying he's easily the third best defenseman. Based on pure talent, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's more talented, I'd say, than Soucy and Myers. But I don't think he's a more reliable defenseman than either one of those two players, and especially under this coaching staff.
Yeah.
And to your point, I love what I've seen from Brandstrom, but I think you have to be careful when pointing to, like, look at the expected goals, look at the stats, and they're all very good, but they're very sheltered minutes.
Yeah.
And guys and third pair of defensemen who are talented on good teams are going to put up really good numbers in sheltered roles because they're going to be on decent teams, they'll be in good situations. And we've seen so many times where a guy's playing on a decent team or even a team where they're okay or whatever, but the third pair gets sheltered and the guy's talented and the numbers look very, very, very good and extraordinarily good. But then they get elevated, and they go to a new team, and it doesn't work out. They lose trust, and he ends up in the same role or out of the lineup. So I'd be very careful in overrating sheltered minutes, right? But from the eye test, he's also doing things better defensively. Like you saw last night, him blocking that pass, right? A good defensive play. I know you can say he laid down, but he did what he had to do. No, and it wasn't his fault.
He's actually impressed me with how he's played defensively on a lot of nights.
Yeah, but also how he plays along the walls. Like he's small, but he's been able to stand guys up a little bit. He doesn't get pushed around. He's able to dig pucks out. He's doing his best to box out. My biggest question with him is just still like the muscle memory and how he reacts to certain situations, and sometimes he puts himself in bad spots. But over reps, can that get better?
Yeah.
Because I do think there's some real growth in his game, but I think we have to be careful to not overrate how he's looked so far in a sheltered role, because the next challenge is going to be how does he play when he gets put into more challenging situations.
We also still very much need to see a bigger sample size, because if you look at, like, what have Brandstrom's two worst games as a Canuck been so far? It's been the Edmonton game and the New Jersey game, right? In those two games, he was on the ice for 5 goals against, 0-4 at 5-on-5. Everybody's numbers on the Canucks were bad in those games for the most part. But also, his possession numbers were amongst the worst on the team in both of those games. So is this something that can work when you are going up against those better teams in the small sample size? Like the last three Canucks losses against Carolina, numbers were good. He was fine on the ice for a goal for, zero against. Against Carolina, he was fine. New Jersey, not so great. Edmonton, not so great. Canucks haven't played a lot of really tough opponents. Still need to see a bigger sample size of that and how Eric Brandstrom fares in those games before I can really start to feel like this is a player that is somebody that's a part of the solution to what the Canucks need on defense. Right now, he's helped a lot, but there's still more that we need to find out about Erik Brännström.
Yeah, I'd love to see him play alongside a really solid right-hand defenseman.
Mm. Yeah. Like, what would he look next to Hronek?
Yeah, or somebody maybe not as good as Hronek offensively, but good defensively,
mm-hmm.
and can actually move the puck efficiently.
So if the Canucks were to acquire like a solid stay-at-home right shot D-man
that can PK,
yeah,
and be good defensively, then that can
what they're trying to build Vinny Desharnais into.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but he's not quite there yet.
Had a good game though. I don't want to crap too much on Desharnais because he did play well against the Flames.
Yeah. Hey, him and Brännström together have had a couple of really good games, but just hasn't always clicked. All right, in the Canucks Central Roundup, Canucks continuing to do some salary cap mastery, I guess you could call it. Canucks sending Baines, Ratu, and Lekkomäki all down to Abbotsford today. They do play tomorrow against the New York Islanders. What does that mean? Well, it probably means two of the three come back up. Ratu and Lekkomäki, I would imagine, are the most likely to. And that is assuming Dakota Joshua is ready to play tomorrow, which Canucks were off today. We don't know if Joshua will be ready, but Rick Tocchet was hopeful that Joshua could play tomorrow night, his first game of the season. Couple of other things. Nils Höglander under 10 minutes last night. What's going on here with Höglander?
I don't want to say he's lost the trust of the head coach, but we're kind of back to similar things.
Yeah.
And even last night, one of the reasons why his minutes weren't super high, despite the fact that Canucks came back, had the lead, is because he had a couple bad mistakes.
Yeah.
There was a 3-on-1 chance, the rush chance in the first period. He kind of gets caught in no man's land, and Lankinen bails him out by making a great save. Was on the ice for the goal against as well. Had a couple moments where he wasn't great. But we also saw how it can impact the game offensively. You saw the energy. You saw him dig pucks out. You saw him try. And you saw him make some good defensive plays as well. But there is enough glaring mistakes that the coach has been trying to coach out of him that have reappeared in recent games. And that is why he's been on the outside looking in. I mean, I don't want to be too negative because he just signed a 3-year extension. And we've seen this with him in the past, too, where he gets challenged, but the coach gives him another chance. And I think we have to also be careful to assume that he's in the doghouse and won't get out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit disappointing that we're back to the same things with him and Tocchet.
Part of this is simply like Suter's hot right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bit of that revolving door of who's going to be the third guy on a line in the top six. Höglander can be that guy, but right now, because he's not going as well as the coach would like, he's gotten bumped down the lineup. You know, that one play in the first period, Ratu goes to push on a puck that ends up a loose puck in the corner. And as he's doing that, Hoglander's got to rotate and become the high forward in the offensive zone. He doesn't read that immediately, and things go back the other way for a 3-on-2 they almost get scored on. Those are the kinds of simple things that Nils Höglander continuing to... he just needs to sharpen those moments up and sharpen those reads up. Jonathan Lekkomäki on power play 1. That's going to be a bigger part of the conversation as we move forward. It looked pretty good last night. And you know what? Made me feel better about Jonathan Lekkomäki getting into the Calder conversation.
He looked good, but I wasn't expecting him not to look good in his first game. Yeah. We talked about this, right? Adrenaline going. He's talented. How does he fare over the course of the rigors of the NHL
weekend,
season?
Three and four nights, right?
Yeah, does he stay in the lineup? How does he handle that?
Yeah.
How effective does he look when he takes a couple knocks? How does he react to it? Very encouraging game, though. Like, you see why he's going to be an NHL player. Yeah. The question for me is Lekkomäki going to be a talented and productive NHL player? It's how productive and when.
Yeah. Made a lot of quality reads defensively as well, from what I saw in the game last night. All right, Kevin Woodley is going to join us. His take on what we're seeing with the Vancouver Canucks and where he thinks Thatcher Demko is at in his recovery. That's coming up. Our goalie guru next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.